When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on your radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world. If they've got internet access, now the best way to get to the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Oh, it is a socked in Sunday morning, but I have it on good authority that the sun should be out nicely by noon, so by the time we're done. So just hunker down where you are and ride out the definite fall weather, even though it's still summer. Join us in the show. And across the table from me, I think he's perfected a suspended animation of one's hair. It doesn't look like it's grown at all. It looks like it's still perfect. That would be Animal World's production engineer, Gary Hill, is here. Good morning, Gary.
Yeah, I do what I can.
Yeah, but I mean, your hair looked perfect last week, and it's been a whole week.
I know.
It's still.
I don't know what to say.
See, Dan Lewis all over again.
Dan Lewis.
Yeah, that's it. Mr. Perfect Hair has got some competition. All right. I don't think she's in competition with Dan Lewis, but I could be. Yeah, your hair is the same color as his.
That's true.
Or as Gary is on the younger side, shall we say. At any rate, that would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. And there is no summer. This has been the state of no summer. It is over.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get some hot weather, it's only because it's the dog days of summer. It's Indian summer.
Yeah, it's all that.
Summer is gone. It's gone, Martha. Slapper, Gary. It's gone.
Well, it's the strangest summer of weather that I've ever experienced here. I'll tell you, I mean, it can be, if it gets up around 80 or so, my house can heat up really fast upstairs. So, I mean, I can have, like, my little window air conditioner to take the edge off. And then by evening, I'm cold, so I'm turning on the heat. I've already gotten out my flannel pajamas. That's why I don't get it. It's like, really? Whoa.
Not summer.
All right. Well, now that we've established that it's not summer.
There we go.
It is the first Sunday of September. Do you believe that? It is. Wow.
It is.
Yeah. And that means it's Vet Sunday today with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. He will be joining us after the bottom of the hour. We will be talking, obviously, about the endocrine immune imbalance that he has discovered that applies to dogs, cats, horses, and humans. We'll be giving away copies of his book. He is back in practice in California. He's got some great cases to talk about. And, of course, we will have open phone lines, be taking your phone calls, and he would be delighted to answer your animal and or human medical care questions. As long as we're on the subject, I mentioned the giveaways. The Animal World Prize Closet is full again, isn't it?
We're busting at the seams.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll have copies of Dr. Al's book, Pets at Risk. And we have copies of Ann Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, who, by the way, Ann will be joining us for the show week after next. The third Sunday of September.
I'm happy that she's going to be on the show, but I'm sad because I won't be here.
That's right. You're not going to be here.
Right.
Yeah, so Gary and I will have to
get her book now, folks, so you can update yourself. And
yeah, because chances are it will just be Gary and I that
right,
Sunday.
So there will be no book giveaways.
Even though we'll have books to give away, we might have to give away double the next week or something.
And I can do that.
Yeah. So at any rate, let's see. We also have, woohoo, Wagon Tails liver cookies, woohoo. Annie Golden says, send them all to our house, please. She adores those things. You can get the larger cookies or the smaller bites, and you can get grain-free or not. Or you can get a 10% coupon if you want to order online. We can give you a coupon for 10% off your entire order with Wagon Tails. So you have to talk Sandy out of those. Let me give you phone numbers right now, although please don't call Sandy right at the moment because she's going to be chatting with us for a little while. And local number, write these down, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And, of course, you can send us an email throughout the show to our live email address. Pretty simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Let's see. Oh, well, let me tell you that we have tip at 10 o'clock. We're going to do fleas, because I'm hearing from a lot of people who, because of the shift in weather, those fleas may be looking for a ride inside because the temperature is going down at night. So you need to know how to take care of fleas without the toxic chemicals. We'll do that at 10 o'clock. And current events about 10:50 as usual. We're going to start off with happening today because it's Hug a Horse Day at Equine Rescue Association up in Marysville. And so what a great excuse to take a little drive up I-5. And it's real easy to get to. You get off the 116th Street exit. That's just one north of Quilceta. And head west. And you will drive right to it. And the Hug a Horse Day celebration is today from 1 to 5 p.m. $3 pony rides. There'll be refreshments and demonstrations, photos and tours. And what a great way to spend some time with Dr. Vell and the horses and the kids, because she not only saves horses, she saves kids, and it's a phenomenal place and program, and they really need our support. So I hope that you will take the time to buzz on up or down, or from wherever you're listening to Equine Rescue Association today. All right. Let's start. It was a strange week of news, Sandy and Gary.
Yes. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. We're not going there.
It's just been a strange week.
But yeah, it's been a strange week
all the way around.
But for the animals in the news, it has been strange. We'll start with follow up. But I've got a whole pile. Look at this. This is all the strange news. That was a lot. We're going to get to that next. We'll start with follow-up. Four birds tested positive for West Nile virus in this state. Three from Yakima County, one from Benton County, two crows, two magpies, and 12 horses and 22 mosquito pools in Yakima, Benton, and Grant counties have tested positive this year. Authorities still want you to report any dead birds. That would be crows, jays, blue jays, stellar jays, magpies, and ravens to your local health agencies for possible collection and testing, either Seattle Public Health, Snohomish, or Tacoma Pierce, depending on where you are. This little article ran in the Seattle Times this week, so you could search that if you need those phone numbers. And let's see here. This is interesting. We've talked a lot about spotted owls and all of that. And, of course, we did more last week when we were talking with Stacy about Wesley, the barn owl. This article is out of Seattle PI Wednesday. Population decline causing inbreeding among spotted owls. If losing their habitats and having to compete with the more aggressive barred owl were not enough. Listen to this. Declines in population of the endangered spotted owl are leading to inbreeding and a resulting lack of genetic diversity, which is needed for survival, making the birds more prone to disease and other problems. And this is according to a report issued by the Oregon State University scientist this week. And they're calling it a population bottleneck. Previous recovery plans were reporting the birds were doing okay, but this guy says they're not, or this woman, she conducted the largest genetic study ever on endangered birds by taking blood samples from owls throughout the West. So, not looking good. Are the spotted owls maybe heading to another place? I found this a little disturbing more. And this is just this is not directly related to animals, but it does because of habitat. But Canadians' Arctic ice shelf loses another big chunk. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
This is an ice shelf nearly the size of Manhattan broke off the Ellesmere Island in Canada's northern Arctic. And they say it was a shocking event that underscores the rapidity of changes taking place in the Arctic. Large sections of ice detached from the Sursen ice shelf, shrinking that ice feature by 47 square miles or 60%. And the Ward Hunt ice shelf has also continued to break up, losing an additional 8 square miles. 7 square miles of the 170 square miles and 130 foot thick Ward Hunt shelf have also broken off. And this comes on the heels of unusual cracks in the northern Greenland glacier, rapid melting of the southern Greenland glacier. I wonder, would there even be a Greenland without ice?
That's a very good question.
I mean, how much of that is right? I would not be a happy camper if I were living on Greenland right about now. Let's see, it says, during the last century when ice shelves would break off, thick sea ice would eventually reform in their place. But today, warmer temperatures and a changing climate means there's no hope for regrowth. And according to these scientists, that is a scary scenario. Yeah, so, okay. Now, for the bizarre pile. I got a bizarre pile, and then we get to go to good news. Yeah, this is just what I mean. Where do you hear some of this stuff? This is like, talk about, there are other things Sandy and I have been discussing that are bizarre and that we don't get, but it seems to be the theme for the week. This has to do with the Bush administration again. U.S. can bar mad cow tests. Now, just listen to this and see if you have the same confusion over this that I do. The Bush administration can prohibit meat packers from testing their animals for mad cow disease, a federal appeals court said Friday. The dispute pits the Agriculture Department, which tests about 1% of cows for the potentially deadly disease, against a Kansas meat packer that wants to test all its animals. Larger meat packers oppose such testing. If Creekstone Farms Premium Beef began advertising that its cows have all been tested, other firms fear they would have to conduct the expensive tests themselves. And I say, yeah, so?
Right.
Wouldn't that be a good thing? Is it possible that we haven't had so many positive tests on mad cow disease because we hardly test any at all? Anyway, the Bush administration said the low level of testing reflects the rareness of the disease. I have a look at it, okay. And mad cow's been linked to 150 human deaths worldwide, but only 3 cases in the United States have been reported. Anyway, so a federal judge ruled against the Creekstone. But, I mean, you got to wonder. The rest of the details on this story, Seattle Times, if you want to look it up. But I found that rather strange. Oh, now here's another one. It's a picture of this. There's no telling what might turn up in Lake Michigan. A fellow from Traverse City found a dead 2-foot shark in the water while fishing on a West Grand Traverse Bay on Wednesday. The saltwater fish was a juvenile black-tip shark. And a fisheries biologist from the Michigan Department of Natural Resources said they think someone either as a prank kept it on ice and brought it, or it was released into the lake and didn't survive by someone who had it as a pet. But sharks in Lake Michigan, isn't that fun? Oh. All right, now here's another one. The foreclosure situation going on in our country.
Oh, yes.
Well, I don't know if you saw this story, but look at this picture. This is from Seattle Times. And there's a picture. Can you see, Gary, that cement wall around the house? Mm-hmm. And what's it laying on top of it? Two bobcats.
Oh, wow.
Now get this. This is Lake Ellsinore, California. Taking advantage of a slump in real estate, a family of bobcats has moved into a foreclosed Lake Ellsinore home.
Nice.
Lolling about on fences and walks and riveting the neighborhood. Neighbors first noticed the feline squatters August 27th hanging out on a sidewall of the empty house. At first, they thought the animals were mountain lions and someone called 911. Four police units arrived, ordering everyone off the street and into their homes. But once the officers realized the animals were bobcats, they, like many of the neighbors, started snapping cell phone pictures. Since then, animal control officers have been going door to door in the neighborhood, warning residents to keep an eye on their children and pets and not to leave water outside. It's unclear whether they plan to remove the animals. At least two adult bobcats and perhaps a litter of young ones appear to be occupying the house. And if you want to pull it, Seattle Times, search it, you'll see a picture of two of the bobcats on the wall.
Wow.
Okay, now here's really... This one, if you haven't seen, these have been a little strange. Listen to this. Elephant drug addict gets monkey off its back. This is out of Beijing.
Okay.
Asian elephant that became addicted to heroin at the hands of illegal traders will return home after a 3-year rehab program, Chinese state media said Thursday. A 4-year-old Asian elephant became addicted after he was captured by smugglers along the Chinese Myanmar border in March of 2005. The traders fed the elephant bananas laced with heroin as bait and to pacify the creature. When the elephant was found 2 months later along with 6 other captured elephants in China's southwest, he was suffering from withdrawal and was sent to a protection center. Now I want to know, how did they know he was suffering from withdrawal? How did they figure out he was addicted to heroin? But anyway, he received daily methadone injections in doses 5 times larger than those given to a human and is now fully recovered. So wow. The good news is, and that's the only reason he's fully recovered. But, I mean, first of all, can you imagine someone doing that to an elephant? But a heroin-addicted elephant. Jeez. Now, you got to wonder if they didn't have something more to report in the news this week in the PI, The World in 5 Minutes. A quarter of the top of the page is taken up by a frog enjoying a swim in a pond in Roseburg, Oregon. I don't know, it's an interesting photo. It just has the frog's big eyes above the water. But, you know, you kind of got to wonder, have we got something better to do? Frog eyes? Yeah, okay. All right. Oh, all right. Now, let's see what you think about this, Sandy. Animal rights out of Switzerland. Strict new laws that went into effect across Switzerland September 1st have some wondering if legislatures have overreached in efforts to safeguard the animal kingdom. Now, listen to these new laws. It is now illegal to flush live goldfish down the toilet. The law stipulates that they must first be knocked out and killed before being disposed of.
Knocked out?
Well, yeah, and if you've ever knocked out a fish, it's not a pretty thing. I mean,
I'm not so sure
that that's more humane.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll have a question. Okay, now, fishermen may no longer practice catch and release fishing, and the use of live bait is prohibited. Pets such as parrots and hamsters may no longer be kept by themselves. And livestock such as sheep and goats must have at least, quote, a visual contact with their fellows, unquote. Dog owners are now required to take classes to learn how to keep their dogs from biting. Even with regulations, I'm saying that pigs have the right to shower and freshen up after rolling in the mud. The country's leading animal rights group, STS, says the law doesn't go far enough. But, I mean, are those some bizarre animals? I mean, does that seem a little strange?
Yeah.
I actually like the shower one.
Yeah, pigs get to we'll have to call Judy up at Pigs Peace Sanctuary and see if they're putting in showers for the pigs, because
you know,
we might adopt these rules here. Now, you know, we're all for protecting animals and such, but is that a little strange? There certainly is a lot more abuse going on.
I was surprised by the catch and release.
The catch and release fish. Well, I don't like that either, because, you know, you got to pull the hook out. That's kind of, but, yeah. And no live bait. Okay. All right, now, I guess that ends the bizarre stuff, and I don't know if this is good news or bad news. It's sort of good news. This is out of state of Georgia. Visitors flock to welcome the only panda born at a U.S. zoo so far this year, and watch the mother and child on a live video feed at Zoo Atlanta on Monday. I didn't know this. You know, the tiny hairless cub, they're about the size of a stick of butter. And they won't know if it's a male or a female for a while until the mom lets them handle her. She was born Saturday, just a week before the second birthday of Mei Lan, the zoo's first panda cub. So, I mean, as much as I'm not wild about animals in captivity, wild animals in captivity, I guess it's good that they're breeding. Something must be, right? I just thought this was an interesting reflection on the difference in cultures. This is a photograph out of World Report in Seattle Times on Monday. It's about the India flooding. And the caption below the picture is, stranded by miles of floodwaters, villagers wade through a national highway 28 miles west of Guwahati, India. 1.2 million people have been left homeless in 2 weeks since this river changed course and spilled billions of gallons of water over the plains. Some 700,000 people are still trapped with little or no food. What I found interesting about this photo, Gary, is look at the photo, and these people are not just wading through the river, they're riding on the back of an elephant. And that must be so normal in India that the elephant isn't even mentioned in the text.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You don't find anybody riding through the flood waters
around here,
on an elephant.
No, that would stand out.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not mentioned. So that's a little on the bizarre side.
Huh.
All right, so there you go. Now, that leaves us with the best good news about animals.
Boy, you're right on cue today, Gary.
Well, you notice the kind of pause in the announcer's voice.
Yeah, the
pregnant pause.
Yeah, that was.
That's because
that's
she
wise.
Has learned that.
That's why
I need to make sure.
For some reason, this segment sneaks up on me.
Right.
Time.
Yes, he's so riveted by the news that he forgets what we're doing. Okay. Okay, we're going to start out with, work for a bunch of good stuff, but so we're going to start out with just a little kind of chuckle. And neighbors called police Wednesday in Trenton, New Jersey, after hearing persistent cries of help me, coming from a house. Officers arrived, and when no one answered the door, they kicked it in. Instead of a damsel in distress, officers found a caged cockatoo that sounded like a woman.
Oh, man.
It wasn't the first time the 10-year-old bird Luna said something that brought authorities to the home of owner Evelyn DeLeon. About 7 years ago, the bird cried like a baby for hours, leading to a visit by child welfare workers.
That's funny. That's great. I love that.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Did you know that there are ostrich riding races?
No.
I'm just mentioning this because it's just on the same page here. It's not really good news, but it's kind of a cute photograph, except that I don't know if it's a great idea. But there's two people here, Shane Harrington and Carla Burlett, race bareback on ostriches Friday during the 49th annual Virginia City International Camel Races.
Like regular-sized people?
But it says they're camel races, but they're riding ostriches. Yeah, see, there's a picture of these people riding ostriches.
Wow. I didn't know you could ride an ostrich.
Well, I don't know, but you know, if you run out of sporting events to cover on your show Monday night,
we'll
Gary,
maybe
you want to do ostrich races. Okay, now here we go. This is good news. Deal to aid endangered sturgeon. Environmentalists have reached an agreement with government agencies intended to help the endangered Kootenai River white sturgeon spawn for the first time since the 1970s. These fish are really incredible fish. The deal will end 6 years of litigation over efforts to save North America's largest freshwater fish. Did you know that sturgeons can grow to 19 feet long?
Yeah, they're huge.
Huge.
Yep.
And are found only in northern Idaho, northwest Montana, and southwest British Columbia. Kootenai sturgeon have not successfully spawned since the mid-1970s. Now, that should tell you how long they live, considering they haven't spawned since the 1970s, and there's still some around to save. It says, we hope this leads to recovery. So that's a good thing. They finally settled the dispute. And what they're going to do, apparently, is monitor the dam. Under the agreement, the Corps will continue to operate Libby dam flows so as to mimic ideal conditions for sturgeon spawning. If those measures fail, the Corps will increase the flows. So at least they're going to start working to preserve the salmon. All right. Let's see. This was the winner of the best good news about animals until yesterday. So this is a photograph out of the Seattle Post-Intelligencer on Friday. Scotland, Edinburgh Zoo's new baby zebra Florence, stretches her legs Thursday. The foal's arrival at the end of July is particularly important to her species. The greavy zebra is endangered, with only an estimated 1,500 to 2,000 remaining in the wild. It's a beautiful photograph.
Oh, wow.
But and I don't know anything about the Edinburgh Zoo, but when you look at the background, Gary, you can't see the habitat, but you can see that lush growth, mm-hmm. that and the zebras is running through it, so that it must be a pretty nice habitat.
Yeah.
And
that's a great picture.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now, what took over first place In good news about animals is I went up yesterday, Saturday, to Monroe to the Psychic and Healing Arts Fair at the Best Western Hotel. That's the first Saturday of every month. While I was up there, something said, go buy Wild Birds, my favorite Wild Birds Unlimited stores in Monroe. Mm-hmm. So I went to stop in, but Leanne, the owner, wasn't there. And they said, well, she's down at the Monroe Elementary School for the big Vox Swift Festival. I said, what? Well, remember I reported about it here, you know, the swift birds that when they're migrating, they roost in chimneys. You know, out of the thousands of the birds roost in chimneys. Well, this is very cool. There is now an official Monroe Swift Watch that goes on between September 6th and 21st. You can go, and the Monroe Elementary School is right on Main Street in Monroe and has a wonderful big grassy lawn. Yesterday they had this little festival. They had booths and displays and education and all that kind of stuff. But the roosting goes on every evening, probably through the month of September, and they have bird counters there, and Friday evening they had over 11,000 swifts.
Wow.
Gathered and whoosh, down into that chimney. How cool. I wanted to stay so bad to watch those swifts come in, but I didn't know about this, so I didn't adjust my schedule, and I couldn't let Annie Golden stay crossing her legs that long at home, so I had to go home. But I'm going to try to get back up here. And see, each September, thousands of migrating box swifts roost in Monroe School District's Frank Wagner Elementary School chimney to rest while on their southern migration from northwestern Canada and Washington State to Central America and Venezuela. And they're going to have people there every evening to answer questions and so forth. It won't be the festival that they had yesterday, but there will be people there that can talk to you about the swifts and educate you and so forth. And I remember reading something here that this is like the second largest, this chimney gets the second largest group of swifts in the country. Let's see. Celebrate the arrival of the second largest congregation of Vox's swifts in North America.
Wow.
And since that's local, you know, it's right up there in Monroe, and they have a little brochure that has all the sunset times. So they say that within an hour of sunset is when they start to congregate and go down. And sunset this month, today it's 7:39, and then by the end of the month it'll be 6:50. So you'd want to get up there, you know, by 6 to 6:30 mm-hmm. to see it happen.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so there you go. That wraps up the best good news about animals. And I would say mark your calendar. I'm going to see if I can't figure out how to get up there for an evening to see those swifts. But how cool would that? Mm-hmm. And they've got a whole bunch of people They've got a regular plan as to how I start. Now, how do you count 11,000 swifts? But
they
have a bunch of counters, and they estimate how many every second go down the chimney. But it's the birds apparently fly down to the chimney. And then they must be like hovercrafts or something, because they turn around, they go fanny first into the chimney. They don't go head first, they go fanny first. So they turn around and bottom first into the chimney. But over 11,000, and they expect maybe up to 20,000 when it reaches its peak.
That's a lot.
Yeah, can you imagine? Whoa. So anyway, let's all go to Monroe.
Yeah,
sit in the
fun.
Grass. I mean, all these people were there with their lawn chairs and stuff. You know, it was very cool. All right, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then it's time for Vet Sunday with Dr. Al. So stay with us. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, Canine Hydrotherapy and Heavenly Spa's warm water healing pool offers pets a therapeutic and nurturing environment to assist in rehabilitation from injury, illness, or surgery, as well as maintaining the overall wellness of pets of all ages and abilities. Heavenly Spa, located in Fall City, maintains its pool at 92 to 94 degrees to aid your pet in achieving greater relief of muscle tension and increased range of motion. Warmth can assist in improving circulation, increasing flexibility, and promoting promoting relaxation. When the benefits of warm water healing are incorporated with massage therapy, the results are remarkable. Heavenly Spa also offers massage and body work, self-swim, puppy parties, and holistic services. For more information, go to heavenlyspa.info or give them a call at 425-222-7221. That's 425-222-7221.
Naturally for Paws is Kitsap County's health food store for pets, where pets are more than animals, they're family. Naturally for Paws provides only the highest quality natural, organic, and holistic pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Two state-of-the-art self-service grooming facilities, all with the highest level of personalized service. Naturally for Paws is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Stop by their store in Silverdale or call 360-337-2444 to speak with their friendly and knowledgeable staff. Be sure to mention that Martha sent you. You can also contact them online or read about their philosophy, products, events, and services at naturally4paws.com.
Hey, if you've got dogs and cats, you need to know about my friends out at the Academy of Canine Behavior and Cattery in Bothell. They are conveniently located just off of 405 north of the 522 interchange. And, man, they have got the best doggy daycare that I've ever seen. They're so close to 405 that if you travel that north 405 corridor to and from work, real easy to pop off on your way to work, drop off your dog at daycare, pick them up on the way home, and then, hey, all you got to do is feed your dog when you get home. You can just kick back and relax because they're all worn out from playing in the daycare all day. And they also offer free behavior consultation, so check them out. It's the Academy of Canine Behavior in Bothell. Phone number 425-486-9567 or online www.aocb.com and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling in this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, it is the first Sunday of September. Shocking as it is, that's where we're at. And that means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner. He is the author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, The Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. And from, I don't know, maybe it's sunny Southern California, Dr. Al Pluckner. Good morning, Dr. Al.
Good morning. How are you, Martha?
Well, I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing fine.
Now, you are now in Southern California. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Is it sunny down there?
Yeah, the sun is out and fairly humid and not too warm.
Oh, okay.
How about with you guys up there?
We're all socked in this morning. It's supposed to be sunny by noon, but we're having strange weather. I don't know about if it's strange weather down there for you guys, but
it's been tremendously humid down here. I've got one of those air conditioning units that the little square goes in the window.
Yeah.
But you got to drain it, right? It fills up with water.
Uh huh.
So I figured, you know, being hopefully a little bit smarter, what I did was I got a half inch hose.
Yeah.
And put it into the top drain, and then I put it into like a 5-gallon plastic bottle.
Right.
I went to sleep last night, and it was a third full, no big deal, right?
Right.
I got up this morning, and I don't have to mop my kitchen.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was tiptoeing through the tide pools, if you will.
Oh, jeez.
So I got it all cleaned up going, oh, what a great way to begin.
So much for your bright idea, huh?
Yeah, so if you can believe that, in 24 hours, I get more than 5 gallons of water. And the only thing that's good about it is I got a bunch of little ficus trees in my studio apartment here.
Uh-huh.
So I use that water to water them. So I'm trying to be environmentally conscious.
Well, yeah, I do the same thing. I mean, since half of my house is below ground, the basement, I have a dehumidifier down there, and I've been kind of surprised that it actually takes out more moisture in the summer than the winter.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, and I'm not quite sure why that is, but
well, it may have to do with humidity, too, because sometimes during the winter, it seems to be less humid. It can be colder. maybe the air doesn't hold as much water. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and of course, inside, maybe with the heat on and stuff, more water evaporates.
Sure.
But I don't know. It pulls out more in the summer than the winter. And I also use that. But let's see, my dehumidifier, I think it's a 2.5 gallon holding tank.
Okay.
And that fills up, but I don't run I have the dehumidifier on a schedule. It's on like 3 hours and off 3 hours, or on 6 hours, off 6 hours, something like that. And
that's good. See, I'm in an old building, in my studio apartment, even Santa Monica. Oh, you don't need air conditioning. Well, the windows are not, you know, double pane and, you know, the whole thing. And so it
right.
gets so hot here, you can't believe. So I leave this thing on with a standing fan in front of it. Pretty much 24 hours.
Well, see, and that's what I was getting at. See, what I do with that dehumidifier, it's on a schedule,
right.
and so it's not on all the time. But even so, at this time of year, that 2.5 gallon holding tank is filling up in just a little bit over 24 hours.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, oh, this is, you know, a piece of cake, because I had a small Tupperware thing that I. Every time it was there, I'd drain it into this thing, and then I'd empty it, and then I thought, hey, you know what? Get a little smarter, bud. And so I got a lot smarter, and
instead.
I flooded my apartment out. Well, maybe I could put some lily pads in my kitchen.
I use my water to water outside, too, so that's a good thing. I mean, we've all become more conservative these days.
Well, for sure, and down here in Southern California, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no,
the water crisis, and, you know, I think that the kind of the day of lawns is going to go bye-bye.
Yeah, are you having a water crisis down there now?
Well, yeah, they have had for quite a while, and even looking at the Central Valley, the farmers and the water rationing that's coming up, there's going to be a situation where the farmers are only going to be allowed so much water, and I think in many instances it won't be enough to keep the crops growing.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think it's pretty heavy duty. And then I look up in Idaho, and one of our wells up there is 100 gallons per minute.
So for any of you who don't know, Al was retired in the middle of nowhere in Idaho, kind of working with the environment and wildlife. You went back into practice. You're back down in Southern California. What your son and daughter-in-law are running the place in Idaho now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
What's going on with them?
They're doing good. My daughter-in-law is like. She had actually a shower down here. Her family lives in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
And they had a shower for her. She's about 5.5 months pregnant.
A baby shower. Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Baby shower. So, yeah, so fun stuff. And
now you start
the animals are doing well up there. The ducks are down now early. A ton of ducks are down early. So we're kind of looking for an early winter. It's been at night now. Believe it or not, it's been 42, 43 degrees up there.
Well, Sandy declared, you know, before we had you on the line, Sandy declared that summer's over.
I just thought I'd
let you know that.
Well, see, I'm not up in the... I used to have, vineyards and a wildlife reserve in the Santa Monica Mountains, and I could basically look down into the canyon and look at the poison oak.
Wait a minute. Time out. Now, I know you had a wildlife reserve, but I never heard anything about a vineyard. You used to grow grapes, too?
Yeah, my boys and I, we got cuttings for a nickel apiece because we couldn't afford the plants, and we did like almost 10 acres of grapes.
Oh.
And I had a commercial release actually for 4 years under the label of Calabasas Cellars, and it was the head and neck of an American eagle. And did Cabernet, did Zinfandel, and did some Johannesburg Riesling. And the time still calls up to one wonder if I'm still making Cabernet. It was some of the finest Cabernet you've ever tasted in your life. And the point of it was...
Well, I'll be darned. How long have we been doing the show with this guy, Sandy and Gary? And we had no idea that he was actually a wine guy. How about that?
A winer, huh?
A winer.
Yeah. So what happened was...
So is there any of your wine left?
Actually, I've got a few bottles around that are collectors, but I haven't.
Huh.
What happened, Martha, was in doing this, I had a young man that worked for me that was, I thought, far too bright to be a veterinarian, and he went to UC Davis, and I think when he was, Mark Shannon was a sophomore, he had multiple gold medals in the wine, the enology business. And so what Mark did was he got Bogle Vineyards on their feet, and he was the winemaker, and so boys and I would go ahead and pick all of our grapes, and we'd take we'd get a truck, and we'd throw dry ice into these. We had plastic, big plastic garbage cans, and then we'd layer the truck with it, then put down plywood and layer it, and then I'd run it up to Clarksburg, and then what Mark would do is he'd take half the crushed grapes, and I would get the other half, and then he'd bottle them for me, and then I would go ahead and truck the cases back, and then Irvine Ranch and Liquor Barn bought everything, and the money was to help me build a bird of prey center on my farm in Calabasas, and they went bankrupt. They went bye-bye.
Oh.
So, you know, there went my money to build my, and it was a volunteer bird of prey center. And so it was at that time that I was, you know, doing Foods and Nature's Recipe, and I figured I'll go in a different direction so I could continue what I was doing. But, yeah, no, been there and back many, many times, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it was in the wine food section of the L.A. Times on the Cabernet, and people all over the world loved it. But, you know, unfortunately, you move on.
So did you ever get the Bird of Prey Center going?
I actually did a barn thing, and I did treat. I had quite a few up there. And what happened was in my hospital, I was treating most of them there for, you know, broken wings, broken legs, you know, making sure we could get them back into the environment. So I actually turned the farm into a relocation center. And this was basically done so that the agencies had some place to go, because at the time this was occurring, many of the wildlife species coming in were being put to sleep. And if they weren't being put to sleep, they were selectively taken out to Los Padres Forest and dropped off with no water, no food, nothing.
Wow.
And the poor people up there were calling in going, we have dead carcasses all over the place. So with the realization of that, I set up this, it was only 27 acres, but it was in Cold Canyon in the Santa Monica Mountains, and it was at the base of 10,000 acres. And I had like 1,000 feet of creek and ponds we put in and great habitat. So we would bring stuff up, I mean, really, really fun stuff, and relocate. And like in Malibu, for example, the feral dogs many times would chase bucks and does into the water. And so the lifeguards would go out and try to haze them in on their surfboards. And if they couldn't, the sheriff would go out in his chopper. And then I had a great animal care guy work for the county, Marty Broad. And Marty would be waiting on the beach when these exhausted animals would come in. Then he'd bring them up to me, and I'd give them an injection of antibiotic, the whole bit, and we'd release them onto the wildlife preserve, and then they would go back into their environment. So we had a coalition going like you could not believe. It was really a super deal.
Wow.
And, you know, after that, there were a number of rehab centers that were set up, a number of agencies that got involved, and even Fish and Game had asked me to be involved in an animal wildlife situation with them, which we did. And we got a bunch of rehab centers all over California going. And that was a number of years ago. And it got to a point where it was time for me to, you know, we've done our wildlife. We've got them going now. They're going to be happy. If people are nice enough and healthy to pick one up, they can bring it into a center. It's not going to cost them anything. They did a good job and, you know, good citizens. And then I moved into the dog world and cat world and horse world.
Wow. Wow, amazing. All right, we're going to have to interrupt here for a moment, take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And as long as we're on the wildlife and bird of prey subject, remind me to tell you who's going to be in the studio with us next week, Dr. Al.
I shall.
And let's see, when we continue, I'm going to give you phone numbers because the prize closet is open. If you would like a copy of Dr. Al Pluckner's book, Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, and Martin's book, Food Pets Die For, or some Wagon Tails cookies, liver cookies, they are available. All you got to do is give us a call, and we have open phone lines for the rest of the show and are entertaining your animal and or human medical care questions. So if you'd like to get a question in, you may interrupt at any time. Local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. Animal World Live at hotmail.com is our email address, and we continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk AM 1150.
Wagon Tails liver cookies, healthy, handmade treats for your dog that offer a heart full of love in every bite. Wagon Tails liver cookies are made with only the highest quality human certified ingredients that come from a local meat market and restaurant supply companies. They never use byproducts, wheat, corn, soy, or products with hormones or antibiotics. And dogs absolutely love them. Go to WagonTailsCookies.com to order this fabulous treat and read the heartwarming story about Willow, the inspiration for Wagon Tails Cookies.
Paws Cafe is the area's first fresh food pet store to make our own foods for dogs and cats. We certainly can create menus for various exotic animals. We'll also customize recipes for animals that suffer from specific conditions like allergies. We also have an indoor training area. We use that for training classes. We use it for talks on nutrition. We use it for a daycare during the day. And we have a puppy play session on Saturday mornings. We're open now in Redmond or visit us online at pawscafe.com.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Martha Norwalk, and oh my goodness, we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is the first Sunday of the month, and that means it's Vet Sunday, and with us today is Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and of course the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. Dr. Al.
Yes.
Now, I was telling you, we were talking about your wildlife
Right, and you said you had a guest coming on next week.
Well, yeah, I'm excited to say that, there's kind of good news and sad news, but you, I know, have heard us talking about Sarvey Wildlife Rescue and Care Center, which
Correct.
Is the wildlife rescue here in our area that we support here on the show. And I think even... you were on the air once when we were talking about them. I think you even bought them a freezer at one point.
Weren't they the people that we were talking about? Somebody had problems too with raccoons.
Yeah.
Sandy had said something that she had a friend or somebody that had used them. They did a great job.
Yeah, and at any rate, Kay Baxter, the founder of Sarvey Wildlife Rescue, passed away in July.
Sorry to hear that.
She had a long battle with cancer. The problem is that the future of Sarvey Wildlife Rescue and Care Center is in serious jeopardy.
Is it?
And they have to by February they have to come up with $400,000 to buy the property to save the place. So
right.
Next week we are doing a tribute show to Kay and
right.
Also to stimulate hopefully some fundraising. We're going to call it Help Keep Kay's Dream Alive, and I'm excited
right.
to say, I don't know if you've gotten the email, because it's been all over the world, but the story of Jeff Guidry and Freedom the Eagle. I'm going to have to, now that you do email, Dr. Al, I'll have to send you Jeff and Freedom's story. At any rate, Jeff is going to be in the studio next week with Freedom the Eagle. So Freedom is going to be, the Eagle is going to be sitting right here with us in the studio.
How exciting.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful Eagle project going in the Santa Monica Mountains. We had like 13 nesting spots.
Hmm.
And with an eagle, many times they'll have three eaglets, and one can be very healthy, and mom will still kick it out of the nest.
Oh.
So I had a setup with the falconers to climb these nests and take the eaglet, and then I was set up with a friend of mine, a veterinarian at the Griffith Park Zoo, Chuck Sedgwick, where we were going to raise the eaglets and then release them.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, the environmentalists said, oh, no, you can't do that. They killed the project, and then
so you just let them die.
And there was a golden eagle's nest, and the environmentalists decided that they wanted a horse and hiking trail so they could look at the nest, and that was the end of that nest. The eagles never came back.
Oh my!
Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on with eagles. Well, good, good for Jeff, and that's neat.
Well, yeah,
what a neat program that'll be, and they're wonderful.
Try to remember when I get home to send you the Jeff and Freedom story.
My fishing game had brought me this beautiful red tail real quick. And
red tail hawk?
Yes, red tail hawk. We usually don't name him, but we call him Junior. And he had a fracture close to his elbow, so had to set it in a manner of which he could fly. For the longest time, he'd just kind of hop up the stairs and everything. And then we got him flying.
What do you mean, hop up the stairs? Was he, like, just living with you?
I was feeding him and taking care of him. He's, just a great bird, but we were trying not to imprint him, but, obviously we did. And I'd leave the garage door open so that the other red tails, when they'd come after him, when he was flying, he'd fly into the garage to get away from him.
Huh. Oh, wow.
And you know, when the kid, it was neat. When the kids were out there flying their kites, he'd come down and knuckle a, the thing from probably 1,000 you know, feet up.
Uh-huh.
Come down and knuckle a kite and pull off. And used to follow him to school and on the telephone poles. And then he finally...
What do you mean by knuckling?
Well, when they dive and they come down, they've got their claws, if you will,
uh-huh.
their feet in a knuckle. And that's how they often hit a prey in the air. They'll hit them hard.
Oh, they come down? Or they,
oh,
they,
yeah. As your fishhawks do that.
They hit them with their... I didn't know that.
Do that.
Huh.
So what Junior did was we had relocated a whole bunch of different things, different birds of prey out there. And one big, beautiful female he took on for his wife, which is great. And then they nested in a big eucalyptus tree that was right on the, and down where the oaks were on the creek on the preserve. And we had a dinner party one day, and she came flying by to show everybody the gopher snake she had caught and was taking back to her nest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't see Junior for a long time. And then on, couldn't believe it was raining one Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
She shows up on the railing. And across the canyon on the preserve where the big split rock was, there was his wife and a fledgling.
Huh.
And he came in and said...
So he brought the whole family home.
Yeah, so what I did was I took a big chunk of chicken breast out to him, and he took it and flew over and started feeding his family. But I could whistle for him, and he would come down and literally take a lamb heart out of my hand.
Wow.
And I, well, it was in the newspaper had the whole bit, which was, it was just not to get notoriety for that, but to say, hey, yeah, there is a place where if you pick up a bird of prey, you can take the fish and game, they will bring it out here, and if it's not a terminal injury for them or something where they won't be able to be released to the wild, we'll fix them for you. It doesn't cost anything. So it was neat. I mean, tons. You can't even, we did, a, I don't know, 100 birds a year. From
yeah.
you know, sparrowhawks to redtails to owls, we had I had a whole bunch of baby horned owls that were actually up in a tree down at one of the movie lots. And one of the problems was the pigeons were defecating all over the props and things. So they got somebody down from Ventura who had soaked sunflower seeds in strychnine.
Oh.
And the mama flew down, took it up into the nest, and she died. And then the stunt guys went up, and they brought me these six little babies.
Wow.
You ought to see them, little fuzzy suckers with beaks, just the cutest things in the world. And I would raise them until I could take them out and then get them in the wilds, but I also would leave food for them so they could come back. And they had water and everything else. Well, one of them got out of the hospital, and one of the staff was... and decided he was going to bail. And we get a call from Fish and Game about 3 days later that the street behind us, some woman had just broken her toe running from this monster bird.
Uh-oh.
That she was just really frightened and be careful. But and they said, would you go over and look? Well, it was my baby. So I went over with a basically a paper plate with some dog food balls on it,
mm-hmm.
and he was jumping up and down and cracking his beak, and she was in the house scared to death. I walked over, picked him up, put him in the cat box, and took him home. Fun stuff.
Oh, wow. You would have enjoyed our show last week. Stacey O'Brien, who is a behavioral biologist, was working at Caltech.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asked to take on an abandoned baby barn owl.
Oh, okay.
And so Wesley the owl, a love story. Let's see, a remarkable love story about an owl and his girl. And oh, what a story! He lived 19 years with her, and the relationship they had was absolutely phenomenal. And what she learned about owls and are really incredible. But we're going to have her on some more because she's doing rescue work and stuff down there now too.
Small kestrels, your pigeon hawks and all the rest of them, and
mm-hmm.
we'd release them, and I'd be out in the vineyard, you know, working,
mm-hmm.
and this one guy we finally called Buzzy, he'd fly down and land on my head.
Wow.
He'd sit there and chirp, and then he'd take off again. I mind my own business, I'm pruning, doing little things. Here he is on top of my head again. And then they migrate. These are usually migratory, so they don't hang around. But at least with the preserve, they had food, they had water, they had the habitat. and until they were ready to be on their own feet and move away. It was like a small micro environment for them, you know, and that's why I fought so hard, you know, to keep the public out of there. If you want to go see these animals, go to the zoo. This is their home. You don't live here, they do. You know, give them that break they need to get back into our altered environment, which you and I have talked about. It's different, and you know, like our children coming into this world, they're in an altered environment too. I mean, look at the school systems, look at the computer stuff, look at the iPhones, look at all this stuff. It's so far beyond me. It's like my grandma, I remember going many, many years ago, and she's saying, you know, I can remember when we had covered wagons and now we have jets. I don't understand that. I think I'm going through the same social